like to read three passages of Scripture. The first is in the Epistle to the Romans, and verse 8. The word is near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. And then the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 12, page 1460. Let us also therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who, in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then the prophet Isaiah, page 872, chapter 35, verse 7. And the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of wild dogs, where they lay down, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass through it, but it shall be for these. Those that go this way, even fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall ravenous beast go up thereon, nor be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of Jehovah shall return, and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's a wonderful thing that we can preach such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has come from the heights of glory, the one who has been exalted and given a name, that which is above every name. And we're not asked to do anything that is particularly difficult in coming to know the person of the Lord Jesus. We're not asked to achieve something that is unattainable, naturally speaking. But it's, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. That's not just a repetition, because it goes on to say, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart. There is the need to believe as to who the person of the Lord Jesus is. He is a wonderful Saviour. He is the one who has loved me and given himself for me. He is the one who loves you and has given himself for you. He is the one that has come down to this earth and taken a bondman's form. He's left the heights of glory. He's laid aside all that he was to God in becoming a bondman, walking those dusty roads of Nazareth, Galilee, Jerusalem. He knew what it was to be weary with the way that he'd come. And yet, in doing so, his arm was not shortened, but it could not save. He was prepared to speak to the woman at Sychar's well, and in doing so, he won her soul. He won her heart, he won her affections. How wonderful it is, you know, if the Lord Jesus could win your affections. And so, this is a well-known scripture in Romans.
Mm.
One that I probably have heard preached from many, many times, particularly in the open air. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. It takes courage to confess Jesus as Lord. It's not so difficult among a company of believers. But say it out in the street. Say it to someone who you don't know very well, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is your Saviour. It may bring opposition. It may bring a question or two. How wonderful if it brings a question so that you can open up what is in your heart as far as Christ is concerned. And then the important thing here, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead. We were speaking about that in our reading this afternoon as to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ as firstborn from among the dead. Love to think of that, you know. But the Lord Jesus was raised from among the dead by the glory of the Father. I didn't see it happen. I was not there at Calvary. But I believe by faith that Jesus died. By faith, I believe that he was raised from among the dead. How wonderful that is, because that's accounted as righteousness. That I should believe that which God has done in the raising of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, goes on to say, for with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession made to salvation. Oh, salvation is a great and glorious matter. The transaction that has been done by the Lord Jesus himself, as far as sin is concerned, he has been into death, and he has suffered at the hands of a righteous God, so that I might know what it is to have all the weight of sin removed, sin's guilty stain, being brought home to me in the last few weeks. It's well to be rid of the weight of sin, but you know, sin carries with it a stain. And that in itself has been removed as well. Sin's guilty stain. It's what clouds my speaking. It may cloud my relations with the Lord himself. But he's removed it. He's cleared it. So that I might know what it is to have perfect joy in his presence. And then in Hebrews, not on this journey on our own, there's the cloud of witnesses, but greater than all that is the fact that Jesus himself is the leader. He is the one that has gone before. He is the one that has been into death and come out victorious. And he is the one that is the completer of our faith. While we're here, you might say our faith is incomplete. But when we're with him, then it will be complete. We will see him as he is, in all his glory and in all his greatness, because he's been crowned with glory and honour. And I love to think of the fact that Jesus has been given that name that is above every name. You know, there are persons here striving to make a name for themselves. They want to go down in history. We went to Chartwell yesterday and we saw the place where Winston Churchill lived. And he was somebody, whether he consciously strove to do it or not, I don't know. But he made a name for himself. Now, in the fullness of time, that name will be forgotten. But the name of the Lord Jesus himself will never be forgotten. The name of the Lord, too, is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. How wonderful it is to experience the safety of the name of the Lord Jesus himself. You know, we have no other name. It says, no, there is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other. He is the all-the-way-home Saviour. Love to think of that. Whether you're young or whether you're old, the love of the Lord Jesus doesn't change one iota. It says, who in view of the joy lying before him. Think of that. The way it's put here, and I don't want to diminish it in any way, but it was the joy that was lying before him that in this particular scripture is more important than the cross itself. Because he was securing something for his God and Father, for his own delight and pleasure, the joy that was lying before him. And you, dear friend, can be part of that joy. You can be amongst the numbered hosts that will fill that place in heaven where the Lord is. But nonetheless, the work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross is something that will affect every true heart. It says he endured the cross, the contradiction from sinners, the shame, the ignominy, the hatred of man, the buffeting, the spitting, the cursing. You know, the Lord Jesus experienced all those things. And you think of two, if I may say it this way, the natural fear that I would have as being amongst a hostile crowd, pushing in upon me, making me frightened. The Lord Jesus experienced all those things. He wasn't among people who liked him or loved him. He was among people who hated him. Who said, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. They couldn't do that enough against the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated him. And they lifted him up upon a cross to die. What a thing for the Lord Jesus to allow himself to be taken by the hands of wicked men, nailed to a tree, nailed to a cross, just high enough, we might say, off the ground, so that persons could spit upon him, they could buffet him, lifted up to die. What a death crucifixion was. Eventually, a person crucified would die from lack of water, die from just the physical pain of enduring the burning sun, perhaps having had their legs broken. They had to endure great pain and great suffering. And yet, the man, the robber that was crucified alongside of the Lord Jesus, he could say, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. He had a sense as to the person of the Lord Jesus. And I think he was entering in some way as to the joy that is referred to here. He was looking forward to the Lord Jesus coming in his kingdom. The joy that would be his as he entered in to that place the Lord refers to as paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, just to finish up, I just want to encourage one another as to this way of holiness. A highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. How wonderful it is to be found on this way. It says, they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Everyone on this highway walking in the same direction. And Jesus is the leader and completer of faith. And it says, it's going to be a way of safety. No lion shall be there, nor shall ravening beasts go up thereon, nor be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. Think of that. The redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that know what it is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Those that are truly redeemed by his blood. We think of that. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, it wasn't the normal thing for someone crucified to have their side pierced with a spear. And yet, it happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man in hatred pierced his side, the hymn says. And the scripture says, forthwith there came blood and water. An unusual sight, truly. And the centurion that was standing there could say, truly, this man was Son of God. Another soul affected by the person of our Lord Jesus, standing there and taking account of all that took place. Well, I don't want to continue or prolong this gospel, but I just want to emphasize the fact that this is a way of holiness. As those who have been ransomed, those who have been brought nigh to Christ, will find themselves on this way, and not on your own. You'll be amongst myriads of others who love our Saviour in sincerity and truth. Just, it's a great and wonderful thing to be found upon this highway. There are no hold-ups. We're all moving in the same direction. And when the Lord calls us, we'll be there with him. But at this time, we're all proceeding along that pathway that leads to that place in glory that he has promised us. May it be so for his name's sake.
Amen.